The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. Johnny Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money. Managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you to create better financial habits. Envision your long-term goals and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of Johnny Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Good evening. Welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Tony Payne, Craig Konstantinovich, both certified financial planners, and we hope to help you to manage to be wealthy tonight with some thoughts for the season and allow you to be more efficient with your funds and take into mind some things you may not have thought about. So have you guys done all your shopping for the holidays, guys?
You know, I started doing some of those Cyber Week deals that, you know, kept popping up in my email inbox. I won't say I'm all the way done, but definitely got a good start on it.
Good for you, Tony.
Oh, I went Thanksgiving night, went out to the mall there and all that hubbub and everything.
Oh, you're got a Black Friday guy.
Got a
okay.
good amount done. Oh, I don't think it was Black Friday yet, but no. But they were those sales, and oh my, it was a madhouse. The economy's definitely back, it seemed like.
Yep.
But to be able to shop and plan ahead for the shopping, I knew I wasn't going to go to one spot for everything, but to have the time kind of walk around, I felt like I got some good deals.
Good. We talked about planning for next year and some things to do on one of our earlier shows, which you can always download from the WTVN site or even from our website or even iTunes. So you can pick sites, pick stories, and pick issues that you're interested in. Well, I've done all my shopping for Christmas.
I was going to say, John, this is your favorite season of the year,
it's
right?
It's my favorite season of the year, and I did all my shopping, you know, the Thursday before something else, before my birthday.
Right.
Because, you know, I bought everything I was going to buy.
I'm only guessing what that was.
For everyone that I was going to buy it for, which, of course, is nothing.
Right.
So, I don't believe in gifts on holidays because if I have to be reminded to think of you, I think that's a downturn. So I give gifts every other day except on holidays. So
love it. Love it.
Well, since everybody else, though, being normal, is out there doing shopping and, you know, going out Friday nights and spending the wee hours chasing down the deals and being on the computer to get cross-eyed like some of us, then the number one thing that you use for most of this shopping is what, guys?
Credit card.
Credit cards. You better believe it. And we're not going to quite do a credit card show tonight, but we wanted to get you started on that because clearly that's going to be the major thing you're going to use to do all this shopping. And we know that people who use credit during this holiday season usually end up behind the eight ball when the season is over and have added as much as $2,000 to their credit cards. So we're going to try to help you avoid that, certainly if not this season, next season. But let's look at some of the pitfalls of owning a credit card, see if that can help you make some decisions to do a better job.
Well, there's one that's a big one right away, and that's just having billing disputes. I mean, as we looked at the numbers and went through this, 17% of credit card complaints were billing disputes.
Yep.
So you thought you may not have paid something, or your interest was overcharged, or perhaps you didn't understand how it was calculated. And I've sat down and tried to run that calculation myself. It takes hours sometimes just to try to simply do the math and trace it back with either Excel or on paper even.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand. So to think that billing disputes are a regular issue, that's
well, that leads you to be diligent about your statements and whether you're getting them online and downloading them or getting them in paper. You need to check those daggone things each time they come through.
And the hardest part right now, and I can just tell you from hearing a few of my friends and family members talk, most people just have the automatic bill pay set up. Whatever my credit card bill is, boom, one right. swipe and it's all paid.
Yep.
But you're not doing the due diligence. You're not making sure that there wasn't a mistake or that there was a fraudulent charge on there. So you do, as you guys have both said, you need to go through, actually track the statements and make sure, maybe not line up receipt for receipt, but at least have a general idea of, yeah, I did spend this much at this place, or I did shop at this store, or I was in, you know, this location when I purchased this. just to make sure it all passes the smell test.
Well, I have lucked out because Bobby goes through each statement with a diligent eye, and she highlights those things which are questionable. Then, of course, I follow up on them. So I have my special weapon to help me with that. But we do check our statements, guys, and we recommend everyone else do that. Well, what's another issue that they should watch out for with their credit cards?
Tis the season, but identity theft is large at this point of the year.
My, yes.
That fraud, embezzlement, I mean, it can be anything these days from, you know, an online shopper all of a sudden having their credit card pop up somewhere else or being used on a site that they're not familiar with, or honestly opening up a new credit card in someone's name or social security number. These kinds of things happen specifically around this time of year and most times aren't caught until well into the following year. So definitely be aware of that.
Right. When speaking of identity theft, fraud, embezzlement, because embezzlement, that's a tricky one. I was joking with one of my friends the other day, the way their household is run. He said, I feel like sometimes I want to embezzle money from myself. and we had a good laugh over that one. She's doing well with their money. Good job. But the idea was, if you don't know that you spent the money, back to point one of where you shop, how much you spent, I heard an interesting case where someone had lifted the card, but they shopped at all the places the person normally shopped.
Mm.
So if you looked at your receipts and the activity and all the alerts the card companies have, if it was the local store down the street that you always go to and it was about the amount you spent, no one would ever know that. So it seems so basic, but the idea of going through your statement to say, was this really something I did, or is someone embezzling from me, maybe?
Exactly. And what about all those little, you know, $1.99s and $4.99s that you signed up for along the years and are still on your statement and you're not using them anymore, or in fact, you don't like them anymore? So pay attention to all those little things because they do add up, and it's like a leak in your gas tank. It may only be a couple of drips here and there, but after a while, it's a few gallons.
Right.
So and, be careful of that.
And the more important thing here, and we're talking about credit cards specifically, but if you're one of those people that uses maybe a debit card or some other kind of card to pay for your expenses online, be very careful of doing that because that may take even longer for you to get made whole or for you to get through this process of getting money back or fighting identity fraud. Beyond just a simple canceling the credit card, getting things reset.
Tony?
If you do think you're a victim, though, and this is where we were going with it, was you've got to contact the police. You have to take that step. You've got to contact the credit bureaus. You've got to take a little time and do the digging. And right away, once you notice it, that's the important part. And these things should be reimbursed or refunded if you really didn't use that. And that's one of the reasons why we like credit cards sometimes, is because of some of those features of protection. But we got to be careful with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you don't report, they won't pay, right? The credit card company won't pay. So
exactly.
You have to report it.
Yep. And last point here before we move on to the next one. Definitely one of the biggest things. Remember, there's several credit reporting agencies that are out there. You're entitled to a free report every single year from each one, absolutely free. So make sure that you are ordering those in different time periods so that way you can actually get an idea of, are all of my accounts open? Is there maybe a new credit line that I'm not familiar with for Macy's or whatever the case may be that you maybe didn't open? Having it reported on that credit report will allow you to see that, close that line, and then report the identity theft.
Right, and we're going to go a little more into that after the break about credit reports and mm-hmm. how about your credit number and all that other stuff, and there's some surprises there for our listeners. So do we have time to go into what's next, guys? How about the last thing there, which is canceling the account?
Yeah.
People are always asking that question. Should I cancel my account? What if I cancel my account?
Yeah, you certainly can cancel the account. There may be several attempts to try to keep you to keep that account open, whether it's perks, rewards, you name it. But certainly you can close the account. We're going to get into it a little bit later, but it's not going to have that dramatic impact on your credit rating for a long period of time. But certainly can be something to do and can prevent others from using fraudulent accounts or fraudulent information and keep you more whole.
Well, hang on, folks. When we come back, we're going to deal more with this credit card and some of this credit reporting and credit numbers and so forth. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina, and Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News and World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Craig Konstantinovich and Tony Payne, certified financial planners. And we're dealing with some of the end of the season issues, credit cards, credit, you know, what to beware of, controlling your spending. We're not going to get into budgeting so much until, I don't know, if we talk about Tony's favorite subject a little bit later.
I hope so.
Which is a big deal here, right, Tony?
Yep. Okay, tracking your expenses. That's what that is.
Tracking your expenses. And as you know, with all the new software that's out there, it's absolutely almost impossible not to do.
Right.
I mean, they allow you to attach receipts. It just is so incredible. So even if you're using a spreadsheet, you ought to be able to do that. Only takes a few minutes, saves you a lot of time and hopefully some money if you have to later. So right now we're still talking about credit cards and some of the things to be aware about credit cards. And last topic was about canceling your account, should you do that, and so forth. But the next one is another one I'm sure most people think about when they think about their credit cards. And what's that one, Tony?
It's a big pitfall. The interest rate.
Yep, the interest rate.
And it's calculated a few different ways. You hear the letters APR, APY, so annual percentage yield, which sometimes can be done as a daily rate, and that's what you see on the statements. So even reading that top line number versus what's calculated on your statement, if you're tracking along trying to do the math yourself, that's pretty tricky. And that's just the highest point of what could be tricky about the interest rate. There's also other caveats, like if you pay late, the interest rate may jack up. If you wait so long after your introductory period, it may go up. So if you've signed up for one of those 0% or teaser rates, you've really got to pay attention to say, when does that expire? What's my plan to have it paid off? And if I don't, what is my interest look like if I'm still carrying this?
It's only 8,000% interest, Tony, when those things end up, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you're not joking, John. There are those kinds of loans out there that unfortunately
interest rates on some
people
of these
get
things
into, and you've really got to do your digging, because if you're attacking this interest rate stuff, you may go through and say, look, I want to pay this card, and you're doing the right things. You've got to understand the numbers, because you probably should pay off that card. The idea being, if you know the details of it, you may be able to use your money more efficiently.
Right, exactly. And so be aware of that. Be aware also that if you take a cash withdrawal, the interest on that is different, and they may or may not be covered under the no interest clause of your zero interest new credit card that you took out.
Absolutely. So, John, just question. You've been doing this for a couple of years now. What do you think is the worst scenario, or can you give us any details on kind of the worst case scenario that you've seen when it comes to credit cards?
Worst case scenario I can recall is a doctor walked into my office one day to do a prospective client meeting. And he was a specialist, so he was making a good deal of money for the time. And we're talking for a while, and, you know, I always ask what I call my trick questions. What is it you expect me to do in the next year? And he said, well, what I really need you to do is help me with my credit cards. And I said, well, okay. I'm thinking, you know, a doctor making the money he made, probably was $10,000. He owed $250,000 on his credit card.
Wow.
And this was like 20 years ago when that was some money. That used to be money. And it was almost impossible for them to pay it off. The interest rates on that were incredible. And the second best story is someone walked in and we'd done their plan and so on and so forth. And along the way, they decided that instead of communicating with us and helping them along the way, they were going to finance their business with credit cards and not tell us. And so they did that. And so at the end of one meeting, everything looks so good. We do the plan. We say, boy, you're in good shape. You're going to make your goal. And he says, well, I just have one thing to ask you about. And he says, what am I to do with these? And he put a stack of credit card statements in front of me, and there was like $150,000 worth of credit card statements.
Oh, my gosh.
Naturally, he went bankrupt, his business went bankrupt, and so on and so forth. So be aware that interest rate is important, and as you say, the conditions. Also be aware of when they start charging you interest rate in your purchases. because some credit cards charge you different ways if you when you make a purchase. So pay attention. I know it's, you know, golly, it's the season with the rest, and I'm supposed to take a holiday and so forth. I know. But, you know, if you expect to be managing to be wealthy, that means you pay attention. If you want to manage to be healthy, you go to the gym. Maybe you hire a trainer. If you manage to be healthy, you may go to a doctor on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? If you manage to be wealthy financially, you have to pay attention to what's going on.
Part of that paying attention to maybe the last pitfall here, but unfortunately we've seen it a lot, is don't play the credit card merry-go-round of the balance transfers of this 0% stuff, because eventually the music stops. You're the one who's stuck. And if you've just been able to go 0% to 0%, and whether your job lost or something happened that now you are on such a thin ice that now it's broken, you're stuck. So the idea of if you're able to get ahead, or I'm sorry, not if, make yourself be able to get ahead or freeze the card, get rid of it, do that sort of thing. But the idea of constantly doing balance transfers can be pretty dangerous.
Well, it can be dangerous, but I did have one guy who was a client for a time, and he was in another state, and I was at his office one day, and he said, let me show you what I've been doing very successfully. And he opened a drawer, regular drawer, you know, like in your file, not your file cabinet, but in your dresser,
yeah,
or something like that. And without, this is going to be unbelievable to you, I know, but that drawer was stuffed with credit cards. And they were standing on edge, so they weren't just, you know, sloppily in there. They were standing back to back to back to back. So I don't know how many credit cards he had in there, but it had to be hundreds of credit cards. And what he was doing was playing that game, switching to zero and so on and so forth. I don't know how he kept track of that thing. Fortunately, he never really got in any trouble with it, with his credit cards. But that was just shocking to see this.
Wow. Right. Or file of credit folders.
And he's not file folders. They were each an individual credit card stacked up, banged up next to each other. Unbelievable. So,
oh my gosh. Man,
where credit cards can be a little treacherous in all ways. So what else, guys, about this these credit cards they ought to be paying attention to?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily just what you need to be aware of. You know, we've talked about the late fees, the interest, everything else. Really, it comes back to, well, how many credit cards, if they're so dangerous, how many credit cards should I really have? And it comes back to, okay, what do we know is the norm, and what do you really use those credit cards for? Right now, Americans average almost 3 credit cards per person. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I pretty much use one, and I've got another spare one. But that's pretty much it. Outside of that, there may be some department cards for different perks or whatnot, but for the most part, I've got 2 primary cards and then a couple
others. A bunch
others.
Of perk cards.
Yeah, a bunch of perk
40,
cards.
40, 50 perk cards.
Yeah, of course. You know, it sounds like that, you know, person you were talking about before with that drawer full, and we've got something in common, so.
Tony?
And you're not talking about debt cards, though. You're talking perk cards.
Perk cards,
okay,
exactly.
Okay, just saying it. Okay, just making sure I was tracking there. I'm wondering who this guy to my right was for a minute. I know you're pretty tight, Craig, so. I think we're right about all on that average, or at least I am, too. The idea of you want to target, how am I using it? What am I using it for? Maybe there are certain things that you can get better rewards on. The other's almost the default card. So the cash rewards one for me is the default. The one with the travel perks is the special one for that purpose. And beyond that, the business card. So when you look at it that way, to be able to have it organized and manageable enough, because, yeah, you get the offers all the time of do this, do that, get something extra. But that's just so hard to manage personally, I think. It's been worth it for me, I think, to keep it simple.
You should keep it simple. I think Bobby and I have we have 3. We have 3 cards, and 2 of them are cards where you get bonuses, you know, for travel or hotel stays or whatever, and we've collected lots of points. And the other is the American Express one. Well, time for us to take another break. We'll be right back on 610 WTVN.
News Radio, 610 WTVN.
Columbus's news, traffic, and weather station.
Good Good evening. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Tony Payne, Greg Konstantinovich, and we're talking about the year-end and some planning around the year-end, as well as some things you ought to be aware of as you're funding the year-end. And for most people, as we pointed out, that's been credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just beginning to talk a little bit about how many credit cards you should have. And Greg, you were leading the discussion on that.
Yeah, so we had said right now on average people have, and in America at least, about 2 to 3 credit cards. And a lot of people just kind of say, hey, that's what I signed up for. That's what I've got available. You know, I'm going to keep those 3 or 4. But the big thing here is making sure that you understand why that's beneficial. So the biggest thing, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute, is looking at how having multiple credit cards improves your credit score.
Right.
So obviously the credit bureaus love seeing you being able to properly manage your credit, not overspend or overextend yourself. So by having multiple cards, you actually increase what's called your overall credit limit. So if you have 3 cards with, let's say, $5,000 as their limit apiece, you have $15,000 total. That's your overall credit limit. Managing that more appropriately keeps your score at higher or lower numbers depending on how exactly you're extending yourself or using that credit limit.
So you're saying instead of just having the 3 credit cards, they should have 30?
I'm not saying have 30. Go wild and crazy, because in fact that can hurt you. You know, whether it's updating addresses, if you move and missing a payment or two, all of a sudden those little nuances that we take for granted with just the couple we have, if we have 30, 40 of them, that could be a detrimental issue to us.
Great. So anything else about how many credit cards someone should have, Tony?
Not so much how many cards, but like Craig was saying, how you use them. If you've got an X amount, $10,000 of total available, maybe that is on 100 cards. It's about how much are you using of that total available number, more so than that you had 100 cards. Okay. Certainly having 100 is probably dramatic, but that's the idea. Is it's about how you use them.
I don't exaggerate, Tony. I just blow it up so you can see it. That's all. That's
all. Well said, John. Well said. I learned something in these years.
So be aware of that with the credit things. And you guys are nudging into the... what's the rate called that when they measure you? It's not your score, but it's your
social character score.
No, that's the one in China
that they just added.
Good gracious!
No, it's your credit score here in America.
You going to Argentina or something?
No, it's about the same thing. Your credit score plays into how much you pay for insurance and what phones you can get and jobs you can get and all kinds of goodies. So
it even can help out with auto and homeowners insurance too.
Yeah, exactly. So it might as well be our character score in some ways. But
well, we're not talking about character scores.
Well, what's your debt payment character then?
Well,
your FICO score, I think, is what you're looking for there, John.
All right.
Could be the FICO score, yes. And that's really interesting because that's different from what people think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you go and you, as you guys have said, if you have, the illustration is if you have 3 credit cards and you owe the same amount on each of those 3 credit cards, let's say that's $1,000, keep it normal,
mm-hmm.
then when they measure you, they may find that to be an acceptable rate. What's the point? The point is, how much do you owe in comparison to how much you can borrow? So sometimes when you have stagnant cards out there, they're actually improving your credit rating,
mm-hmm.
as you pointed out earlier, Craig. And a lot of people will get in trouble and they have credit cards, maybe they have 3 or 4 left, and they're trying to dig their way out, and they say, well, what I'm going to do is cancel this one card. I paid this one off, I'm going to cancel it. So if they did that, they've now lost the leverage of that one card that had $1,000. So now there are 2 cards that are left, each having a $1,000 possibility. They're out of whack because they're beyond the 30% range. And there's some talk where the lenders are now thinking about making that a 10% range instead of a 30% range, and even looking at individual cards and applying this little formula. So be aware of that when you're dealing with your credit cards and your credit rating. Which we're going to deal with in a little bit here. Okay, guys, what else about these cards? Are we going to go right to the credit history and credit score and protection from identity
theft? I'm raring to get there, John.
We're talking
all this fun stuff with the plastic or the metal. Have you felt one of those new metal cards, by the way?
Yeah, American Express.
Oh, sorry.
Is,
okay, all right.
I dropped it on my hand, and that's how I lost my finger.
Yeah, okay. Those things are hefty.
They are. They're nice and stable.
Yeah, back to it, though. But, yeah, credit history, because if we want that nice heavy metal card, we're going to have some decent credit history to get there. So there's a few things that go into that. The idea is really basically, are you paying your bills? Are you paying them on time? The utilization rate, what we're talking about, how much
Thank
goes
you.
Into it.
That was the phrase I was looking for.
There we go.
The utilization rate, that's part of it too. But really, it is basic. Are you paying your bills? Are you paying them on time? Beyond that, now we can start to say, how do I improve? It's how much are you using of it?
Yeah, and recognize that these credit bureaus do not have your income information.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're looking at this stuff, they can only look at your payment history, not your income history. So they're not evaluating your income against your debt. So some people think that's the case. Well, you know, I'm making $100,000 a year, and they don't want to give me another credit card. It has nothing to do with your income. It has to do with your payment. So, and credit history, as we know, is different from your credit score.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that, Tony or Craig?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is your credit history basically shows how you've been using credit over the years. Your credit score takes into account some of the other factors, like Tony was talking about, your payment history, the amount that you actually owe on a regular basis, the length of time that you've been using credit, how many new credit lines you've had and how frequently you're applying for those, and then the types of credit that you have.
Right.
You know, student loans and credit cards are two very different things in calculating your credit score.
Exactly. And recognize that these credit bureaus are businesses. They are separate businesses that are simply collecting this information. And then what they do is they sell it to the vendors, the banks and the insurance companies and whomever else is out there, giving them some information on your credit card history. And there's some phenomenal, if you really get into it, there's almost a different rating based on which industry you're in or which company you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So credit is not straightforward. It was, 50 years ago when I started, Tony, but not now. It's a far, far more complicated issue.
Right. I mean, just to illustrate that point, John, you think about someone who's very well off. Take the high level, the athlete, the entertainer, the successful business person. They may have multiple homes, multiple vehicles, bought a car for mom, granddaughters, whoever's. All of these things are out there. Their credit score may look terrible, but that middle-class American with not a lot going on, not a lot of income, their credit score can be through the roof. So like you were saying, it's not about your level of income. They just purely look at what do you have going on, how risky are you to them, that you might blow it. And that's really what they're measuring. How likely are they to get paid back?
You got it. So let's see. Then when we come back, we're going to talk about how do I improve my credit score. That's probably very useful to people right now looking at their credit cards, jumping up from all the Christmas and Hanukkah and other presents they're buying. So we'll have to pay. We'll give some tips on that when we come back. In the meantime, we want to remind you that if you like, you can always call our office at 614-326-3077, and we would welcome you for a complimentary visit, where you can visit with one of our planners and go through your materials, and we'll ask you to complete a questionnaire in advance so the meeting is productive, and we can give you some ideas about your financial planning situation. So with that, guys, I think we'll take another break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina, and Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News and World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Craig Konstantinovich and Tony Payne, certified financial planners, and we're discussing some of the end-of-year seasonal issues regarding your financial planning. You know, financial planning is not all just investing. It's a whole bunch of, it's a comprehensive thing regarding, in tonight's case, we're talking about credit cards, and how many things that you may or may not think about. So we're trying to hit all the bases so that when you come through this season unscathed. We don't want you to be among the the celebrants who are ending up with, I don't know, $2,000-$3,000 on your credit cards because you were so generous.
Exactly. Yeah. Paying off credit card bills all the way into summer vacation next year.
Right. You go through it. You get through Christmas. Then you have New Year's to deal with. And then pretty soon you have, you know, my favorite time of the year, St. Patrick's Day. Because that's my birthday.
I wasn't sure if you were going to say that out loud.
So let's go back and pick up where we were left off, talking about credit reports and credit scores and so on and so forth. And we mentioned that what we're going to try to do is talk about how you can improve your credit score. So what are some ideas there, guys?
Yeah, and this is oftentimes a lot of the questions that we get, you know, especially when people are looking at making bigger purchases, like buying a home, you know, buying a new car, whatever the case may be. So the first thing, and this, you know, spreadsheet or this article here gives a great breakdown of it. The payment history is a very important piece of it. So if you haven't already, certainly make sure that you're making those payments before they're due or as they come due, not having late payments. That's one of the most significant weightings when calculating your credit score. It's about 35% of what credit agencies are looking at. So start off with that. And then also take into account the amount that you owe. So we talked about this in the last segment about, you know, credit utilization, what your utilization rate should be, but make sure the amount that you owe or that's owed doesn't exceed an exorbitant amount. If you can keep it from 10 to 30% of what you have available, so if you have $15,000 available, keeping that below $5,000, if you're able to do that, credit agencies like that a lot. That looks very good to their in their eyes. Go ahead, Tone.
No, as we're talking about this, interrupt you, but the idea is this formula, what we're talking about, they keep in a black box inside of Fort Knox somewhere. So you don't know, we don't know what this formula is,
right?
But they'll tell us what they're weighting. So that's where we're going to try to, not game the system, but how do we manipulate to drive our score higher?
Right.
And that's why they don't share the formula, because they don't want someone to try to manipulate it. So we can say many things, and you'll hear it from others too. Here's the way to do it. Here's the way to do that. Knowing that they change this thing sometimes, just keep that in mind. What we're saying here today is true and perfect as of today.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of these, because John said it too, there's different groups that calculate the scores, whether it's Vantage or Equifax or all these groups, they each may have their own little twist on it. So again, as you hear advice, you can't take it as one size fits all.
Yeah, no, great point there. Yeah, and you know, one of the other big ones here that you'll often hear about is the length of time that you've been using credit. So again, knowing that your credit history is, you know, basically whenever you signed up for your first credit card, student loan, whatever, hang on to that first credit card. Even if it's only a $1,000 balance or something like that, hang on to it, because that shows to the credit agencies a lot of longevity and making sure that you can use credit effectively over a long period of time.
And also don't, you know, stub your toe against getting a loan just before you want to get a mortgage.
Right.
You know, you bought a new car and you took out a loan because your car died, and then your spouse's car died, and so now you have two car loans and you want a mortgage loan.
Right.
Watch out for, and then the same thing holds true with getting credit cards. So recognize that, you know, people are worried about, if I check my credit score, then that's going to be a ding against my number. It isn't. If it's you checking, there's no ding. But if it has to be a hard check. So that's if the bank is going to make you loan you money and they're checking their credit hardcore, then that's what affects your credit, because they're dinging you all the time on this stuff. Tony?
Well, I'm just, you see me looking at you, John. My eyes are betraying my thoughts here. I'm wondering, do you remember your first or original line of credit?
My first?
Yeah, your very first. So in theory, your oldest, if it was still open, what was the first time you used credit?
You mean when I had to go to the bank and beg for a credit card that had a $100 balance?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, those were the days. I know you did
it. It's so amazing. You get that credit line. You're so excited to get the credit line. And of course, then you use it a little bit and you get a letter from the bank that says, you rotten, no good guy, you've exceeded your credit line. Stop doing that. And then the next day you get a letter that says, congratulations, we've upped your credit line to $300. Don't be suckered into that. So manage the balances on your credit card just like anything else. And that probably leads us, Tony, to your favorite topic about how do we manage all of this in one little super tool. And what would that be?
It is. Whatever tool you want to use, electronic, paper, online, whatever, it's tracking your expenses. We call it a cash flow worksheet or your living expenses. It's not a budget sheet. It is, what am I actually spending? What does it take for me or my family to live the lifestyle that we're living? Go back in time and track that. Again, there's plenty of neat tools out there. We could almost spend a whole show on the tools, but the idea is it has to work for you so that you regularly use it. The great tool in the world that's on your phone or something isn't going to work if you don't like tracking it on your phone.
Exactly, and be aware that I always say budgets don't work. And the reason they don't work is they're static. They're saying, well, I'm going to spend $600 for life insurance premium. And so you start putting away $50 a month to meet it. The problem is the premium's due next month. So you need $600 next month. So that's why we use what we call a cash flow worksheet. And we show in that worksheet that next month you need $600. And there will be months then, hopefully, where you'll have a surplus. And you'll accumulate that surplus so when the $600 occurs, you're ready for it. You know, ideally, you could do what investment people do whenever they give you a prospectus, say, about an apartment building. They have a whole list of things in there. They'll say air conditioners, refrigerators, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they'll show you, well, the refrigerator is going to wear out in 10 years. So they have an amortization schedule for that, that they're going to have the cash when it's time to do. Well, guess what? You can do that in your family, and indeed you should do that in your family. So all the things you bought, all the things you have, then you know they're going to need to be replaced. And so when is it you're going to replace them? Or are you just going to be, you know, packing it all into the attic and letting the roof fall in on you with all that stuff you have?
Yeah, you just said it, John. And that's where I blend a little to another show of talking about housing somewhat. But the idea of having a house, you've got to be able to have the cash flow to continually improve it or make those regular improvements. And forget just maintenance and improvements, but when you want to restyle it, maybe that house is 15 years old, you like where you're at, but you hate your kitchen, that's the kind of expense to plan ahead for, amateurize out, so that, yes, you could do a new kitchen every 15 years or so.
That carpet is still in. I don't know what you're talking about, Tony.
Quiet. Who gave you
that's why people are selling their houses. The realtors now come in, and there's this new, what I think is a gambit, you have to restyle your home.
Yeah, stage it.
Stage it. You have to stage your home. And so there's a great deal of cost in doing all of that stuff. Well, why don't you restage along the way? And then if and when you're ready to sell, you just say, take it like it is. If you don't like it, offer a different price and replace the carpet with a carpet that you like, not that what's already in there. So this cash flow worksheet is probably the most prominent tool that anyone who truly is interested in managing their lives financially and who are looking forward to a successful retirement, because this is also the key to how much money you need when you retire, how much you need a month to live when you retire, because you're going to work from that sheet and reschedule it. Thank you for listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.